We are joined now by the great Jerry Jones. How are you doing today, Mr. Jones?
Hey, I'm doing fine. I'm particularly excited today. We've been over here with our press conference announcing the new National Medal of Honor Museum that's going to be a magnificent tribute and recognition to the stories of the great men and women who won the Medal of Honor in the United States. And it's quite a day. It's quite a day for Arlington. Going to be quite a day for our nation, really.
Wow, that is really, really exciting. How did you come to get involved in this project?
Well, of course, Arlington has been in the forefront of wanting to be a part of the National Medal of Honor Museum and build this museum. And, of course, we all recognize what these Medal of Honors mean to the image of what country and what patriotism is about. And so this will not only be a big part of what Arlington is, but hopefully with the Cowboys and the Rangers and all of the kinds of recognition we can do with television and media, we can make it a more of a way of the nation, and especially our young people, to understand what the Medal of Honor winners really did and what they mean to this country.
And so, Jerry, this is happening in Arlington?
This is in Arlington, and we just announced it. I've just stepped out of the meeting. I apologize for our delay here, but we're just announcing it, and it'll be a part of a $150 million museum. But the more important thing, it will be a resounding, ongoing national recognition of what Arlington is, where it's located, to visit the Medal of Honor, hear the stories, hear about the men and women who have given the ultimate prize for this country.
Well, you never have to apologize for us, especially for something like that. That's really cool. But we actually were going to ask you about this, and there are a lot of cool things going on in Arlington, and that's where AT&T Stadium is. You guys are going to have it's an old neighbor becoming a new neighbor in a nicer building right down the street with the new Rangers ballpark going in, getting ready to start. So y'all are obviously invested in that area. What do you think about the Rangers' new ballpark, and what does it mean to what you guys are doing there to have that nice facility and Texas Live and all that going on?
Well, I'm actually standing right here looking at it and having just stepped out of this announcement. But it's beyond comprehension, really, and certainly exceeded anything I could have expected. But with what's going on with the new Lowe's hotel and the Texas Live Entertainment District and the ultimate addition of another convention center and hotel, it has really created a, I'm not even going to say entertainment district, it's just created a destination for all of not only Texas, but some 40-something million people that visit this area every year. And that's really, that was a very attractive thing to the Medal of Honor Foundation Board, that this area has such appeal for not only the population that Dallas and North Texas represents, but also for all the visitors. But as much as anything, our stadium was built really not just for the 100,000 fans that we hope we have in the stadium, but our stadium was really built for television. Only 7% of NFL fans ever have been inside a stadium. Only 7.
Hmm.
The NFL is a television game. It can't be a studio game. It's got to have the pageantry of Rome for the stadiums. But what we do through our relationship with the Salvation Army is we take that message and we go all over the United States and have a national presentation of what the Salvation Army is about. We'll be able to approach that relative to what in assisting the recognition of what the Medal of Honor Museum is about, or what the Medal of Honor itself is about.
Man, that is just fantastic. And, man, we commend you guys for your involvement in that. And it just sounds extraordinary.
And I'm sure we'll hear more about that. And we have a limited amount of time with you, Mr. Jones. And as you know, we desperately need to talk to you about what's going on with your football team. And I got to start by asking, you know, there's been a lot of theories on what happened to your offense this week. And, you know, people are wondering, hey, we need Jerry Jones to go in there and get involved in some of those offensive meetings and say, guys, let's release the hounds a little bit. Let's do what we did the first 3 weeks. So did you happen to get a chance to poke your head into any of those offensive meetings?
Yeah. I think that we do have to realize that defensively, New Orleans really played an outstanding game, and they gave us some things that we had trouble dealing with, their alignments in the interior of their defensive line, and that was problematic for us. We can work around that. That's not a long term, because you anticipate, whoever watched how New Orleans did it, that's what you'll see in the coming weeks ahead. But when you really analyze it, those turnovers that we had, those we're not blaming anybody, but those turnovers we had at midfield, the two, and then the sack at the end of the game, and Tyron's injury, which ran about 30, 40 seconds off the clock. At the end of the day, that took our measure. We were there. We were there against a good football team. I'm going to say that over half the time, given a minute 40 on the clock and with the ball, we'll have a chance to get a field goal or get a touchdown. By the way, if we were playing somebody that has the ball with a minute 40, it's likely they'll score too. And so the bottom line is, we were in a position to win that game in a hostile atmosphere against a good team. Did we have a Pollard running free? Did we have, and I don't even want to have a tone when I say that, but they're absolutely right. We didn't run as many offensive plays as you need to run. And you're going to cut down on offensive players' reps, with the exception of the offensive line. You're going to cut down on your skill players' reps when you run so few plays. I think a combination of them controlling the ball, which, by the way, is called getting getting it put to you, with them controlling the ball, and the turnovers were the story of the game.
I don't disagree with you, Jerry. I think that's really well said. My question would be, sometimes lack of execution can obscure the idea that maybe we also had the wrong approach to that game. Is there a feeling on your part that not only were the execution problems, that maybe the approach or the game plan or the scheme of how you were going to play this particular game should have been different?
Well, I know we didn't approach game. I'm going to be trite. We didn't plan on Whitten having a fumble. The approach we took to the game was for Whitten to hang on to the ball. We didn't plan on Zeke fumbling. The approach we took to the game, we don't factor in those turnovers. We don't factor in that sack with a minute 40 on the clock. We had factored that in the game, then you probably would have been devil may care and just doing all kinds of crazy things, because if you plan on those three things happening, you're going to probably get your butt kicked.
Yeah, no, that's true.
You've got to plan on not turning the ball over. You've got to plan on, if you've got the ball with a minute 40 left to go and 2 points down, you've got to plan on at away against the New Orleans Saints right now. Your game plan, your anticipated way you're going to play this game, I'll take that. I'll take those circumstances every day. Now, we need to play better and how we approach when we see defenses the way they were playing us. And that'll be adjusted. But to go in and say, because I've done this, I've basically taken the game plan and taken exactly what we anticipated and said, okay, what if we had done this differently? So I've done what you normally would say. And by the way, I've been in there asking the right guys, the players and the coaches.
Hey, we're glad you are too. We appreciate you helping us out with the answers and all that. Cowboy fans are super curious. You heard the crazy conspiracy theories out there. Hey, they got rid of all those conservative play calls and they opened it up and it's a modern offense now. Why'd they revert back to that? So we appreciate.
That's not true. That's not accurate. True is the wrong word. That's not accurate. We did not do that. We had a plan that, given going into the game, I'm hard pressed. Now, knowing now that we're going to have those two turnovers, then I might have done a little something differently or suggested to them something differently. Or I know they would have done something differently, but they couldn't have anticipated those turnovers.
All right, you guys are playing a phenomenal quarterback this week in Aaron Rodgers. And Jerry, you're a Hall of Famer. You have amazing perspective, and you've seen a lot of football. And so we've been having these discussions about who the best quarterbacks are in the league now, who are the best quarterbacks of all time. But you have a football game in a sandlot this weekend, and you can pick any quarterback from their prime at any point in their career. Who is the best quarterback, in your opinion, in the history of the game?
Oh, my goodness, I wouldn't go there. I really wouldn't, because I think they have different I think it's numerous, because they have different they just have different attributes. And you obviously can win with any of those attributes. Now, we hear Aikman discussed. The Aikman at accuracy I don't know that I've seen a more accurate player that had the right mentality. And his mentality was let his offense work for him. Let that work. He was not any way near, I don't even want to use the word, but he's the farthest thing you could ever have from a bus driver. But give me Troy Aikman, a healthy Troy Aikman, and game or put the running game that we have about him, and he had him vexed. He could you could get it going or coming. Now, they found out that they needed to push Stepnoski back on Aikman in the pocket, and that made for the beginning of a lot of adjustments when the league adjusted and started putting Stepnoski back there in the pocket.
You know,
my point is, to long-winded to go to your question, I've got to go with the guys that brung me, and I'm going to put Aikman up there.
All right.
And of course, you know what I think of Romo.
Yes.
For us to be sitting here and not have a Super Bowl, having had Tony Romo as well as on three or four occasions the supporting cast around me, is without a doubt the low part of my career.
Okay, so Jerry, let the record show. I want to pat myself on my own back. I predicted you would say Aikman. But having said all that, is yes. Dak more like Aikman or is he more like Romo?
Oh, I think he's neither. I really do. I think he's more like Brady. I think now I'm not going to – we know Tom Brady and he's no Tom Brady. I
yes!
Say that. But the point is, he will evolve and is evolving into a guy that will beat you. And he will beat you with different circumstances and different players and different type teams. He'll be on teams that have better defense than others. He'll be on teams that have better protection than others. I think we got us one in Dak.
All right, we want to ask you about this big movie released today, this weekend. Everybody's buzzing about the movie The Joker. And it was mentioned to us that maybe you're a big movie guy. So let me first start with that. Are you a big movie guy? Do you get out to the movies a lot?
Yeah, I do. I used to really go before the best play, television really evolved into what it is today. But that was probably my favorite thing to do was hit those movie houses. But of course, I watch a lot of movies on television as well. But yes, I'm a big movie fan.
So that said, if there was a movie about the Dallas Cowboys, who would you want to play you if you could choose?
Oh, I wouldn't go there. But
Brad Pitt?
Rock Hudson. Maybe Rock Hudson. I'm a little shocked for some of the older folks there. Yep. What's the best looking one, Hollywood?
They're all so damn good looking, Jerry. It's hard to pick one. Well,
we were just wondering about that. Like if a movie came out and you did want to see it, I mean, you're Jerry Jones.
Jamie Foxx.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah, we're going. I'm in on that too.
Hey, Jamie could do it.
Yes, he could.
No doubt.
Yes, yeah. He could.
I know one thing. We have a lot in common. I know we enjoy the same types of things in many areas, food being one of them.
Oh, yeah. So, in fact, Jerry,
Jamie used to sit with us. He would come in before he was Jamie Foxx, but he was well on the way. But he would come in, and I used to watch the game in a little cubicle about the size of a car from the end zone looking upfield. And I sat there for my first 10 or 15 years in the NFL. And Jamie would slide in there, and I mean, we went for three across it. And Jamie would slide in there and watch those games when he was had time to be around Dallas more. But he's a great friend.
Well, I tell you what, I'd much rather see him play you, but there's a lot of people that are preferring Clint Eastwood over here on the Autoflex Leasing Fan Text 877-881-1053. But I don't know. Clint doesn't oftentimes come off as a fun guy. I feel like it needs to be someone really fun playing you.
Well, Clint's a good enough actor. He could get enough of me in the fun part pretty quick. And I'd like to, you know, you're right. I picture me, old Mule, M-U-L-E Jones. I think that's the way I could finance his thing.
I love it. I love that. That's fantastic. Okay, so we like having fun with you. Obviously, lots of fun topics out there. Today's National Taco Day. What is your favorite taco? How would you make it? What would you where do you like to go for tacos? Anything you got to say about National Taco Day? We'd love it.
Yeah, I have some of the neatest friends and really people that I get to live with, work with, and they're great cooks, and they are wonderful taco enchilada. All kinds, every kind of beans that you can imagine with Hispanic, Mexican orientation. And so I'm a king when it comes to the quality and the variations of Mexican food that I get. But, I really like your traditional ground meat taco if I've got to start somewhere, and that's usually how I'll start. But actually grew up where we were very unique in Central Arkansas. We had a place called the Mexico Chiquita, and it was really before its time, and it had fabulous, fabulous Mexican food. And a guy named Blackie and his wife brought it. They'd spent a lot of time in Mexico, and it was not uncommon for our family, my sister and I, and dad and mom. We'd eat there two times a week.
God, that's awesome. All right, and before we let you go, obviously lots of optimism in Cowboy Land. Folks were planning parade routes after the first 3 weeks, and now folks are panicking, and it's a volatile bipolar roller coaster ride of sorts. But do you still feel right now as confident as you did after the first 3 weeks?
Well, I felt the same way that I felt after the first 3 weeks. When we had arguably the best team, the 92 team, 93 champion, we won 9 games by a touchdown or less. And that on hindsight, was a dominant team. Yet 9 games by a touchdown or less. We're going to have close games. We had them last year. We always have them. You've got to win those. So that's what's ahead for us, and our ability to basically take that ball like we did the other night, a minute 40, and go down there and get the win. It's going to come down to that several times, and we can be good at that. We can do that. I'm not trying to be trite, but we can do it. If we can, I'm still as optimistic as I was before New Orleans, and that's not a sales job.
Well, Jerry, you're always a heck of a lot of fun to talk to. It makes our Friday mornings really good. Hope you have a great weekend out there at AT&T Stadium, and we'll catch you next week, man.
I'll try to be on time next time, man. Thank you, listeners, for hanging in here. Thank
you very much. All right, see you, Jerry. There he goes, Jerry Jones.